turn to Exodus chapter 12. This is the story of the Exodus. And this is the chapter that shows how God did it, why God did it, what He did, when He did it, where He did it. It shows everything about how God sets us free. So Exodus is freedom. When you exit, when you leave the house of bondage, you're free. You don't just go to another house of bondage. You stay free. So He wouldn't take you out, except you can't worship in the house of bondage. Cannot worship. Why? Because worship isn't just some secret thing that I do to God in my inner being. It's a public thing. And not only that, it's followed by acts of love. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. So worship is always followed by service. Let them go 3 days that they may serve me, be my servants. Well, if you're a servant of God, you can't be a servant of house of bondage, Pharaoh, man. So here's the story. And the Lord spoke. I tell you right there, when the Lord spoke, He's the highest authority. If the Lord speaks, it's like Pastor Jim. No, that was not true. So, actually, nobody really listens. So, but if it's God, there's authority to it. If it's man, there's no authority. No authority at all. Man has no authority. If he has authority, it's because he speaks the words of God. But before you can speak them, you have to hear them. You can't speak what you didn't hear. How blessed are those that bring the good news. Because why? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Why? Because then you can hear. And faith cometh by hearing. So you put an awl through your ear. A-W-L. And you put an awl through your ear. If you were a slave and you decided that God manumitted you, He'd set you free, but you decided you'd like to stay freely. You guys want to be your slave anyway. It'd be like being married or something. And so you put an awl through your ear on the doorpost of the master's house. So you stick there and stick an awl through it, pound it through, and that's how they pierced ears. So what it means is your ear is now attentive to God's voice. You hear the Lord. And did you know that we live by every word that is continually proceeding out of the mouth of God? It isn't just proceeding out, it's present active indicative, which means it's continually coming out of, it's continually pouring out of God's mouth. So you don't want to just hear the word about the law, or the word about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, or the word about you submitting to authority, or the word about you being perfected and, you know, so on. You want to hear every word that He's got. Why? Because He keeps talking. So the good news is not just one thing. Jesus died on the cross. No. The good news is not only does He forgive you, not only does He take you out of bondage, but He puts you into a new place, and then He begins to discipline you and train you and teach you and instruct you and spank you and chasten you and so on. But then He also then perfects you until you're absolutely beautiful beyond measure, Christ-like in every way, spirit, soul, and body, so that then you can be married, so that then you can rule and reign over all the wicked and then over nothing. In heaven, you'll just be ruling over yourself. Self-government. You know, God's really into self-government. He wants people to be free to make mistakes. Did you know that? I mean, He doesn't want you to make mistakes, but He wants you to be free, because if He forces you not to make a mistake, then you wouldn't have the freedom to love Him freely. Your worship would never take place, because you might do your worship wrongly or something. No, He wants your worship to be free, even if it's wrong. Did you know that Buddhists are wrong? Hindus, they're wrong. Muslims, wrong. But that's all right. God still, you know, He's the judge of that. Not you and I. So we can make judgments about it. But The truth is that it's God. And you know what? In those lands, they would never have had any freedom except for us. Except for Israel getting exited from the house of bondage, there would be no freedom in this world. Every religion would be a state religion compelled by the leader, the emperor, the tyrant, the despot, the king, the emperor, whoever. Every religion came out of a country somewhere, came out of some kind of land. And the only reason that we have so many now is because there's freedom. And so people can just make up their own stuff. I don't like that idea. I think I'll go this way. How many know that man has the freedom because of God to mess up? And God already knows what they're going to do. So he wrote a book showing all the things you could do that's wrong and all the things you could do that's right, and you couldn't do any of the right ones. So he had Jesus come down and do it. And he told the Jews what to do, and of course they said they'd do it, but they lied. They never did it. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. And a lot of Christians think they're going to please God somehow by some effort or work or labor or burden or, you know, some kind of effort on their part. Well, there's nothing to do. If God is perfect and he does it all, how can you add anything? How can you subtract anything? So God's already done everything that needs to be done. You can be happy now for the rest of your life. And then for the millennium. And then for all eternity. I don't know. I'm starting. I'm starting right now. I'm not going to wait. Why should I wait till people look perfect? Right? Yeah, the only reason you're mad is because you're not perfect and nobody else is either. The only reason you're mad is God for, I'm not going to praise you until I see it. But faith doesn't operate that way. It doesn't go by sight. You don't need to see it. And so this Abraham covenant 430 years before the day I'm about to read about, this Abraham covenant 430 years to the day, to the very hour, to the minute, to the second, exactly, precise. 430 years later, on the self same day, Abraham and there was a covenant cut. There was a covenant cut, okay? 400 years earlier, forget the 30, 430 years earlier was when Isaac was weaned. So 30 years earlier, Isaac wasn't even there. So that's when he left Ur, and not Ur, but Haran, and his dad died, and he buried him and left him. Now he was gone from his country. Now he was gone from his father's house. But of course, he still had his nephew and whatnot. And then he went down to Egypt, and that was not a smart thing. But you know, he got rich out of that anyway. But Pharaoh rebuked him, and so on. But then he said, you know, from this hour when Pharaoh rebuked him, Egypt's going to do that for 430 years. So that was the beginning. So 430 years when he went down into Egypt, then got back. Remember, he told him, Abraham, you don't have to lie and all that kind of stuff. You know, just trust me on this thing. I said she was going to have a baby. I told you all that. I made that promise to you. I don't know why you're worried about all that stuff. And so finally, he got the boy. And then when he was about 5 years old, then he weaned him, and there it was, 400 years later, Exodus. So let's read about the Exodus. And the Lord spoke. Now that's the key to your life. And the Lord spoke. Now I can hear something and believe it and submit to it and be perfected by it. Woohoo! I love it. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, two talkers, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. Now, that was a new New Year's. That was a new New Year's. That wasn't the normal New Year's. But he was saying, I'm making you a new deal here, just like the calendar was changed when Jesus got killed and so on. I'm going to make this blood thing that I'm doing, this blood covenant thing, I'm going to make that a new month. So this will be the beginning of your months. This will be the first of your months. So you're going to have a new year in the fall, And then you'll have another one in the spring. This will be the first month. I'm going to make this the first month now. So, wow, that would change in the calendar. But how many know God owns the world? And he owns people and he owns everything. I mean, he's an owner. What you create, you own. Whatever you create, a poem, a painting, an idea, you know, a company, you know, a church. Nobody owns the church. Did you know that nobody owns the church? Pastor Jim's church, Pastor David's church. Nah, it's not our church. We're just stewards in his church. Well, we go to Pastor Jim's church. I know what people mean, but it's not my church. I don't have a church. I don't have a church. I have one that I'm a servant of, you know, but I'm not. It's not mine. I don't get to even keep the money. I don't know what David takes because I just trusted him. I don't know. He may be stealing. Some, that happens. Did you know that happens right here in Dallas? There are people that embezzle, that you know, run off with the funds and so on and so forth. Well, I never have. I've put money in, but I've never taken it out. I don't believe that that's the way God wants it. I think he wants to own his own church and dictate what goes where and to whom. And in our church, David can tell you, we don't have a guaranteed anything. Where there are no guarantees. Just whatever comes in, that's it. After the light bill and after everything's paid. We don't get paid first. We get paid last. And if there's nothing there, you don't get paid. Don't you love it that David and I have to be Christians? We have to trust God. Because maybe the people won't like us and throw tomatoes at us and eggs at us and not want to pay us. I mean, I've had some bad sermons. I know I have. So, you know, some weeks you may not get as much, you know. So you have to make up for it the next week. Thank God for Fort Worth. They're not as discerning as you are here. And so, they're happy with the thing. Put it in without thought. So, here's God speaking to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, Nisan. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Why? This is going to be a celebrate. This is going to be a big celebrate. Why? Because the blood of a lamb is going to be slain for the redemption, the freedom, the salvation of the people of God. They're not going to be slaves anymore. Woo! Wouldn't that be good if you weren't a slave of alcohol? Now, I'm going to guess here because I don't know. I hope nobody here is an alcoholic. You know, haul alcohol all around. I hope nobody here is an alcoholic. But I know there are people in the church that are. I know there are people that just drink a lot. I mean a lot. When they have a little, they just keep it going. Because it makes them feel good, I guess. Or crazy. But whatever it is, I don't think you should be in bondage to stuff like that. Or how about drugs? I hope you're not a pill pusher, you know, too dependent on drugs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just to be clear, I've never taken even an aspirin. I did take two once. But other than that, my whole life, I've never had anything in my body. And I know when I fell off the roof, they, you know, had me conked out and gave me some stuff. But as soon as I woke up, I got off of it. But basically, I never put junk into my body, and I'm fine. Amen. I'm okay. And so I'm just telling you, it's possible for a human being just to love God. And did you know that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine?
Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of take that literally. And so I won't take anything. Peg will see me, you know, sometimes, not now, but in years past, a little headache or something. Jim, let me give you something, whatever she calls it. I said, I don't want that. Well, you're in pain. Good. Leave it that way. I'll just take a drink of water, go to bed, and, you know, sleep it off. And so that's how I handle all medicine. I've never had medicine. I don't like medicine. I don't want it. My mother did give me castor oil when I was a little kid. That was awful. And then she made you close your mouth and swallow it. She just held your mouth. You finally swallowed it down. But it was supposed to be good for you because it didn't taste good. You know, if it doesn't taste good, it must be good. But today they make it all sugary and sweet, and you don't know what poison you're taking down. I believe medicines don't help. I believe the best they do is just relieve your pain for a little while. But the worst they do is they cause all kinds of side effects.
Yeah.
I just don't want them. If we didn't do it with our kids, we wouldn't vaccinate them or whatever. I don't know, maybe that some of them did, but I said no. I don't want it. I don't want that. Why? I don't know. I just believe in God. I just believe God's... I don't think Jesus took an aspirin. I don't think he had Tylenol. So I just think natural best. Y'all see that? It's like I don't like a lot of cooked food. I just put a potato on my plate. That's it. Don't cook it. Don't touch it. Wash off the skin maybe. A little bit of the dirt. But I like dirt too. I don't know, you eat a lot of dirt in this world. It's good for you. Anyway, I totally believe, and here I am. I'm a living example of, you know, awesome health. It's because I'm holy. I know that. There's no doubt about it, Willis. When Willis pushed me off, he didn't know it wasn't going to work. He just pushed me off the roof onto my head. But, you know, he didn't realize. It was just, maybe he was testing me out. But Peggy was surprised at the blood. That looked real. That looked real. It was just ketchup, but it looked real. When he hit me, he just put that all over my head like that. But, you know, it's fun to be a Christian. Did you know you can have fun in this world? Because I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about every day, all the time, always happy, always joyful. It's just a decision. I don't care what I see and think and want and feel. I don't care about that. I just care what God wrote down. His word, God speaking to me, that's it. A blood covenant was made. I don't think anybody should follow this idea at all, but I'm doing it. Okay, I don't care that anybody else likes it. I don't care that other people see it the way I see it. I just take it literally. Just whatever it says, I'm doing it. Hello? And I tell you, I've got a testimony. It works. I've been healed. I've been, you know, whatever, and so on and so forth, and other people, and blah, blah. Well, I just believe in miracles. But I don't think I don't think you should overdo it. I think it's just normal. I expect miracles all the time. Hello? I mean, if you can work, go out and work. But if you can't, well, ask God for a miracle. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, people in other countries, they don't have a lot, so they get a lot of miracles. But here, we got so many things we can rely upon and so on. And as I said, I wouldn't rely on most of it. I don't do it. I just do what Jesus did. I like the way Jesus did it. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, listen to this, because this is what Jesus actually fulfilled. Remember Palm Sunday? Remember Palm Sunday? That was the day. On the 10th day of the month, take a lamb. And then for the next 4 days, you had to examine it. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, he had to examine it. So every day he went into the temple. Every day Jesus went into the temple and taught. You remember that? All during the Holy Week. He taught. And so every day, that lamb, you could check the lamb. See if he's worthy of, you know, being a king. And they decided he was rejectable, so they killed him. They decided but John told him, you're the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Did you know that a lamb can take away your sin? Well, not just any old lamb, but a perfect lamb, a blemishless lamb. It didn't have any spots or blemishes or anything wrong with it. It wasn't crippled or, you know, had a mar on it. It had to be perfect. 1 year old. It had to be 1 year old. And so in the prime of its life, there it was. That's the one to slay. That's the one that'll take away your sins. God accepts that one. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So, if you were of the tribe of Judah, or you were the tribe of Levi, or you were the tribe of whatever your tribe was, you had to take a lamb. Everyone had to take a lamb. But let's say you only had one or two people in your house, well then, have another family join you. So you don't have to do it all alone like that. But every man should take a lamb. So he said, like I say, a lamb, you can't eat a whole lamb necessarily. So bring another family in. And that's why Jewish people to this day will invite you in for Pesach. Just means order. Pesach or Passover. Passover is just Pesach. And they invite you in as a Gentile, but it's okay because they want you to be part of their family. They're celebrating that God set us free forever.
Amen.
So the Jews are happy that they've been set free forever. How many know that they got in bondage to the law? Oh, that was funny. They got free and then immediately went back into the house of bondage and then they got into the law. Well, thank God we're not into the law. Amen? We're rotten to the core, and that's good. Just stay right there. You know that Christians are rotten? Are you all aware of that? I mean, there's probably one sitting right on your row, maybe even in your very seat. So it's okay. God is not into you cleaning up. He's into himself cleaning you up by his promise. And he's a good cleaner-upper. God is perfect. Did you know that all his works are perfect, and that's why you can't build the house of the Lord? Except they, who labor to build the house, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. They're not going to get anywhere. So most people feel that they're good or that they have a little bit of good in them. I don't think people have any good in them. I think you have Jesus in you. That's it. There's your goodness right there. So, Jerry, we're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as good as we think we are. And we're not as capable as we think we are. I would say Jesus is better.
Amen.
I'm picking Jesus as my smarts, as my goodness, as my capacity. I'm putting him in as a sub for me. Uh-huh. I'm taking a pinch hitter. Jesus, I need a homer here. And you know me, I probably strike out. So could you hit this ball for me?
Amen.
And you do it for me. Amen. I love that. So that substitute idea is a good one. And so Jesus was the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. I mean, all the sins of the whole world. And he was just doing it for the Jewish people here. But actually, he did it for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus expanded it from the Jewish little celebration to a worldwide celebration. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you come late, you have to sit in the second row. And that is the spitting row. That's a spitting row. So,
only way you get your therein for us up here.
And so, they're in the spitting row. That's why people don't fill the first two rows, because I'm liable to get so excited that I start spitting. Amen. Now, we're not perfect, and I like our religion really good. Because in our religion, we aren't perfect, he is. I never forget that. I never forget that, that God won't accept anything in heaven but perfect. And I won't forget that I'm never going to get there then. There is no ladder I could ever climb to get up good enough. So I don't believe in works at all. I don't believe in human beings being good or nice. I don't think there are any nice people. I'm going to say it again because I know you do think there is. I don't think people are nice. I don't think anyone is good. I think everybody is nasty like me. I just do. I think Jerry's just as nasty as I am. But he might hide it. I don't know, maybe he looks good, cleaned up and nice. But you know what? I think everybody's selfish. Deep down, all those moral people and religious people and nice people and so on, I don't believe in any of that. Where did I get that idea? From the Bible. He said, not one is good. No, there's not one good. That's what he said. And that was my own idea right there. I was always bad. I have never, ever, 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 ever thought of myself as good. psychologically, I've never thought that. I've never thought, gee, what I just did was good. I always thought, that devious trick I just played right there, that'll get me in fine. And I'll take advantage of that person believing that I did something good when I didn't. I did it just to trick them. That's what I always thought. When I was a little kid, I thought that. I always thought, you know, hey, no one's going to look out for me. I'm here alone. And you know, I learned that really early on. And so when you learn that, that's a good thing to learn. I mean, it hurts you at first because you realize there's no justice in this world. There's no hope in this world. There's no life in this life. I mean, all kids are so... they're so silly. They think that, hey, when I get big, I'll be free and I'll be able to do stuff. I love that. That is so naive. That is so wrong. When I get big, I'll be free and I can do stuff. Yeah, well, you'll find out you have to drive on the side they tell you to drive on. You have to pay before you go out of the store. And, you know, there's rules everywhere. I mean, God is a big law God. And everybody in the world is under the left hand of God, his law. Everybody, religious law, secular law, economic law, political law, 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 everything is law. You do it right, you do it wrong. You do it right, you do it wrong. Everything is a law. I like our religion the best because it doesn't have any laws. It just has the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes me free. I like that law. I like the law that sets me free from the law of sin and death. I like it where it doesn't matter if I do wrong or right. It only matters if God lies or not. So my religion is so simple. I just don't think God can lie. How did I get that idea? I just read the book. I didn't even try to believe in it. I just read it. I was just trying to read it, what it was saying. And all of a sudden, one day, it got a hold of me. I mean, it took a long time, but when I got a hold of it, I went, wow, that is good news. God loves me just the way I am. He loves me without works, and he loves me without shaping up, and he loves me... He's better than Peggy. He's better than Peggy. Peggy married me, but she didn't love me like God did. And I noticed that. I noticed a little difference there. I even warned her sometimes, Peg, what are you doing? You're just trying to punish me right now, and trying to emasculate me, cut me down, cut me at the knees. God loves me. Don't forget that. But it didn't do any good. She just keep it going. She felt I deserved it, needed it. And matter of fact, she was vengeful because she knew I had treated her wrong. And so she felt, you know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I'm just going to give him what he deserves. I love that. I love that. I thought that was so clever of Peggy. So, well, how long were you mean at me? Well, I don't know, 25 years I was nasty and mean like that. But now I'm a Christian. I said... so you just forgive me for all my sins, 25 years. No. What? What do you mean, no? Am I not now a wonderful Christian, glorious person now? Am I not now what you've been always looking for and waiting for? How many years was it? 25. I want 25 years. So she wanted to pay me back for 25 years. I said, Peg, we would be in our 70s before we could even start, you know, having any fun together. Don't you want to just forgive me and just forget it all? And kind of like God, you know, just forgive and forget. No. That was it. No. She didn't want to do that. In that, do you realize that people are mean like that? I could see right there the meanness of Peg. I used to just be evil, but I didn't do it deliberately. I just did it naturally. I mean, I wasn't trying to get away to hurt people or something. I just did it. But Peg was actually calculating. This will get him good. I remember the pain I had. I'll give him that same pain. Don't you love that? Don't you feel that's justice? Equal, equal. You abused me all those years. Well, I tell you what. Israel was in that boat. They had been persecuted and hated 430 years. Ever since, you know, the first Pharaoh maltreated Abraham, kicked him out of Egypt. But I tell you what, it worked out for his good. Because he came out a rich man. See? Yeah, he got kicked out, but he was rich beyond measure. He had had camels and oxen and sheep and goats and cattle, you know, and he came in kind of, you know, like, okay. But when he left, man, he was a wealthy man. And good Egyptian hospitality, too. They treated him royally, gave him all the right, you know, deals and whatever. And he was doing well. So when they kicked him out, it didn't hurt him at all. But the Egyptians to this day haven't paid him back. Did you hear what I just said? Did you know that the people living in Egypt to this day remember that they maltreated Israel? They maltreated them. And they, many of them still have guilt over that. That we black people maltreated the Jewish people. And the children of Ham maltreated the children of Shem. Thankfully, we weren't part of that. We didn't do that. Amen? We've always been much nicer. How many know that Christians had nice Christian crusades, Christian inquisitions? And they already had a Christian. We always had the cross right there so they could see it. You take this cross or we're going to hit you over the head with it. And so, no, Christians did it too. Do you know that people are just basically mean, selfish, nasty? Amen? You're not having fun. This is fun. When you have a God that forgives you, what's the big deal? Just admit you're rotten to the core. All right, let's have one person at least in here stand and say, stand up and say, Hugo.
I'm rotten to the core.
I love that. This is a good church. I love this church. All right, who else? Could I have another one? Alex, you're just about rotten every week. That's amazing. It's kind of a consistency. It's kind of consistent. No, it's good. Who else?
I always thought I was good, but I realized I'm very rotten.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, that is so good. Praise God. I love it when... I love it when women do it. I love it when women do it. It just feels... She didn't want to. That's how selfish she was. She didn't want to stand up. And I know there's probably two or three others.
I'm rotten to the core.
Oh, that is cool.
I'm relieved that I have the best in me. I can't say it without the hope of the best in me.
Yeah, Jesus. Why did Jesus... See, this had nothing to do with y'all. It had nothing to do with us. It was just God's own idea from the foundation of the world before he even created mankind. I will have a people. It's just his idea. And I will not force them. I will put it so beautifully that some will hear it and believe it. And I know exactly which ones. He knew exactly who would do it. So he knew that Pharaoh would not do it. And that he even told Moses, by the way, go tell him, let my people go, and he won't do it. He told him that. So, and then when he says no, then say this and do this. So anyway, eventually, after 10 trials, 10 is always the number for trials. 10 years of marriage. You know, if you still made it through that, you can probably make it for another 50. Amen? I mean, most businesses go out in 6 months. Most marriages don't last, you know, very long. You know, it's just the average isn't that good. But if you ever get past that 10-year mark, you got a pretty good shot at it. Now, I know there's some with 25 and 30 years, but that, you know, that's just because of bad pastors. I would say the church has failed, totally failed to produce awesome Christians. But thank God we've got them here. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Are you not excited? Isn't this a place where there's real Christians? And they admit, you know what, Pastor? I'm not good, but God is good.
Amen.
I'm not good, but God is good. That's a good Christian. That's the kind God likes. He doesn't like it when you brag and boast over yourself. He likes it when you say, you know, the Lord, you've done everything. There's nothing more for me to do except thank you, praise you, and adore you. When are we getting married? You know, and that's the way God likes it. And God loves that. Take, just take, 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 take. Don't give. So every man gets a house. And four, and if the household be too little for the lamb, it's too little for Jesus. Are you too little for Jesus? You know, so if your house is too little for a lamb, I know you got a lamb, but you got to have some more. Bring in your neighbors. You know, bring some other relatives in or friends. Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. That is so clear to me. Now, so if you have little kids, they're not going to eat a pound. The lambs aren't that big, by the way. But whatever is in there, get it so that it works out just right for as many people as you have at the table. And the table's going to be a limit, too. If you have a little trailer, it's hard to have a lot of people there, but they weren't in trailers. Thank the Lord, they had houses. Did you know that the people of Israel had houses? That was nice. And onions. And leeks. Oh, man. They were in hog heaven. I mean, what's a little slavery? If you can have a house and beer, they had beer. And so, I mean, the Egyptians were big on beer making. And wine. Man, that is, what more could you want? You know, a worker, that's a worker's paradise. Workers of the world unite. It is amazing. It's amazing. In slavery, of course. I don't want slavery. I would rather have no security, no home, no house, no health, no nothing, and be free. Freedom to me is number one. Why? Yeah, because God made me. And if I'm free, then I can choose God or not choose Him. Or I can choose to work or not choose to work. Or I can choose to be, you know, what people want or not what people want. I get to choose. I love freedom. Does anybody else here love freedom as much as I do? I'm a total freedom person. I don't want security. I don't care about Al-Qaeda and all that stuff. I don't want security. I don't believe governments can do anything without corruption. So I just don't want them. They're making me a slave here by securing me. Thanks. I mean, I want freedom. I'll take my risk. I want to carry my own gun. I'll take care of myself. If the road has got a hole in it, I'll fill it. I'm serious. I don't want the government doing all that. It's just 15 people out there and only one's working and they all get paid. And that, have you ever noticed how government works? It's corrupt to the hilt. And a hammer costs $500 and, you know, everything's rotten to the core. And it's all your money. You could all be billionaires, but you know the government is corrupting and taking it off. So I don't have any use for a big government. I want a little bitty government that only defends me, and that's it. Just defend me and my right to be free. Yes. Do you know that's God's idea? That you never force the good, and you always protect those that want to be free to do it, and you only punish the bad. And if the government would just stick to that, it'd be a great government. But they always want to themselves get in on the deal. They want to be doing business on the side and whatever. And government should have nothing to do with school. But what's government know about school? Well, what does it know about all that stuff? That belongs to the people. They should govern themselves locally. I don't think the state of Texas knows anything about education. How can they know way over there in some other town what's going on here? Let everybody do it themselves. And we can teach Jesus if we want or teach anything. We can just do what we want. They should only punish a few sins. The more laws you have, the more people in prison. The more people, you know, going to be hurt. I mean, laws, have you ever noticed laws do not stop criminals? They make more. If you criminalize, you know, the drug, or if you don't criminalize it, it's just a bunch of baloney. The point is, you got to have better people. That's all. You just have people. You can put me in, you know, a marijuana patch, and I'm not interested in it. You can put me in a harlot house. I'm not interested in it. You can put me, you know, in whatever the deal is. I'm not interested in it. I don't want it. I can have all of the bad stuff I want, and I don't want it. I'm not doing it. So it's the person. That's the one that needs to make the decision. I just get my ideas out of the Bible. That's why I want freedom. I want freedom to follow God. And if He tells me to worship, I want to be able to worship. And if He tells me to render unto Caesar, I'll render. But He never did tell me, as a pastor over a church, to render unto Caesar. It told individuals to do it. I do it. I do my own taxes and all that stuff. I pay. I don't even try to get out of everything. I just pay it and get rid of it. I'm not looking for every little thing. But because I don't care about it. I think they're all corrupt anyway, and there's nothing I'm going to do about it that way. But if I'm free to worship God, and if I'm free to educate my kids the way I want to, homeschool them if I want to, public school, private school, any kind of thing, I like freedom. Why? Because I like making mistakes. I know I'm going to make a whole bunch. Is anybody else aware of that? That if you're given liberty, you will goof up. You will. If you're given liberty. That's why I set Peggy free. I don't care if she does wrong. I don't care. I mean, I don't want her to, but I don't care. I'm not going to force her. I'm not going to punish her for doing wrong. Did you hear what I just said? I'll never leave her or forsake her. She can leave me. I don't care what she does. You all see that? Why? As I'm not holding her, but I'm holding myself because of God. God says, you know, you stay right there. If she leaves, you don't stop her. You can't stop her. You tell her, don't. But that's all. Those are just words. How many know that when you say something to a mate that doesn't like you, it doesn't do any good. Words have no impact whatsoever. If you say to Al-Qaeda, now be nice to us, you know, they're not going to do it. So once people don't communicate, once they don't trust each other, once they don't like each other, there's nothing going to solve that. So the only thing is, grow up. Grow up. I know what the solution is. Get Jesus. I can solve anybody's problem. I don't care what it is. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Woohoo!
Amen.
You just get Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I tried. I read the Bible. Never meant to me. Well, I can't help you. Just keep reading it. It'll get to you. Just keep reading it. He wrote it. He's a pretty good writer. He wrote it in such a way that sinful people can understand this Bible in 2 seconds. It's only religious, self-righteous, establish your own goodness, that those hypocrite, fig leaf wearing people can't get it. I know that. Because you want to be good and bad at the same time. You want to be secretly bad and pretend like you're good on the outside. That's not going to work. That's insanity. You can't do two things at once that are opposites. You're either good or bad. And I go for the bad right away. Just, I'm bad. And God is either good or bad. He's good. There it is. Good marriage right there. Good God with bad Jim. That's a good program. You know why? Because his goodness is unconditional. He likes me no matter what. So am I making excuses? No, I'm not. Am I making provision for the flesh? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, he doesn't put the pressure on you. Even if I did the right thing, but I did it out of force, he doesn't want that. I'll do it. And he doesn't want that kind of attitude in the family. He wants me happy all the time. And you know what makes people happy all the time? When you get to do what you want to do. So I want to love Peggy. I want to love you. I want to do good. But I just do it because I want to. I believe that's who I am. I believe I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. I can tell you all about sins, but that's not really who I am. Really who I am is I'm a lover. I love because he first loved me. And so I'm a total lover, just like he is. So the reason I love Peggy is not because I decided one day to be a lover. It's because God told me, you're a lover. I am? I didn't know that. You love everybody. I do? I had to go and read that again to see if that was in the Bible. He said, the love of God has been spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I believe that's Romans 5:5. Man, that was like interesting. You mean I actually love my mother? You mean I actually love people that I don't love? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Are you sure I'm a lover? Are you in Christ? Yeah. Is Christ in you? Yeah. Well, then he's spreading that love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He is? So you mean I'm a lover? Yeah, and you're happy too. I am? I used to be happy when I was selfish. Now he told me, no, that's not you anymore. I changed you. You changed me? Yeah, I got inside of you. So that Jesus in me. So I get it. Jesus in me loves people. I don't love them, but Jesus in me loves them. But you see, putting Jesus in you is actually an act of love. And pretty soon he changes you into his likeness. And I found over the years that I began to actually think different, act different, talk different, walk different, smell different. I just was different. And I give God all the glory. Yeah. It wasn't me gradually getting better. It was God killing me more often. The minute it used to be that I would do a bad thing and it might take a month or 5 years or something to realize, what? I did wrong? What? I was so good at, you know, ignoring that stuff. But then all of a sudden it was, you know, he would get me every hour. You know, it started to get on my case till, Jim, look what you just did. That's not, I wouldn't have done that. You did something that deviated from me. Well, you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you, but don't you want me to change you? Not right now. Could we put that off? Could we put that off? And I was putting it off. You know, I was piling up a whole bunch of put-off stuff. Someday I'll get around to it kind of thing. And then he gave me a round to it. Said, here's your round to it. Now, let's stop right now. And you know what? I loved it. As soon as it killed me, I realized I should have done this a long time ago. Falling in love with people. And it actually occurred about the time my first daughter was born, Cara. That got me. Kids do that to you. They ruin your ability to be selfish and nasty. Because a little kid will love you. And they'll see if you do something wrong. Like if I tell them to do something right, and then they see that I'm doing it wrong. Dad, you're speeding. You said that was wrong. Wow, yeah, you're right. So I slow down right there pretty soon in a few minutes. Dad, you're speeding again. Gee, gosh. You know, you told us that's wrong. Well, yeah, that's wrong. So kids can catch you like that. Hello.
Hello.
If you have any hypocrisy in you, they're going to find it. Because they love you. They're close to you. And they're watching you like a hawk. Because they're going to copy your language. They'll probably speak the same language you do. They'll copy, you know, your mannerisms, the way you laugh. And, you know, they copy all that stuff. I don't know how they do that within a year or two. They are awesome. I mean, I always marvel at Chinese kids learning Chinese within 2 years. I mean, there's what, 3,000 characters or something like that? I don't know. Whatever. And those little kids can speak Ying Hao, you know, and they can just do that. I mean, it's like I always marvel. That little kid is so small. But a child can learn any language. Even in Xhosa, they have clicking sounds. That's a tribe down in Robert's area. And they have clicking sounds, you know, and they just click. And that's a language. I'm amazed at all that, how little kids can learn all that stuff so quickly. Did you know you could learn too? Learn the language of Jesus, the language of heaven. We got a whole book on it. Just keep reading this book like I do, 4 or 5 hours a day. I read this book a lot. And pretty soon it gets to you. Pretty soon you find yourself improving. Now let's watch this lamb thing. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him go get his neighbor next door. Take it. According to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. How practical is God? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Okay, this is when Jesus had his Last Supper. They'd been watching him all day long, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, late in the day, they said, is the Passover ready? This was the day of preparation, the day before, and then this is it. So, now it's ready. 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. When was Jesus killed? You know, he was killed at in early. He was killed early. Okay, what time was he killed?
3 o'clock.
So was that evening? No, evening is until 6:30. That's when he was taken down. He was already dead. But he was maybe kind of like he was suffering or something for a long time. No, you know what? He did it the night before. Thursday evening. When he had the Last Supper in the upper room. That's when he died. You see, he said, I'm doing this for you. I'm eating this meal. It's the last meal I'll ever have with you. And so in the evening, he sacramentally died, not physically, but sacramentally died, spiritually. Meaning, when he took that supper, he was saying, you are my friends. That's covenant talk. In other words, if you owe something, I pay it. You owe a debt, I'm going to pay it. I'm the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. But he wasn't just dying for the Jewish people. He died for us too. That's why we repeat that supper. We do it often. You know, the church is supposed to actually do it every time they gather. That's why we have house churches. And every time we have a house church, we always have the supper. Every time. So we don't have it just on Sunday morning. And as a matter of fact, here we don't do it at all on Sunday morning. But in the Fort Worth church, if you really need it, we got it over there. But the point is, it doesn't belong on Sunday morning. It was never a Sunday morning thing where there was a mixed crowd of people. It was only for the faithful who actually were walking the talk. They were actually living the life. They were actually being disciplined, discipled, trained, and purified. So that's why we're not producing anybody today, because we're not following the biblical pattern. All right, watch. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from out of the sheep or out of the goats, and you shall keep it up till the 14th day, same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, post of the house, of the lintel, wherein they shall eat it. So watch, here's the door. What they did was they have the blood down here in a little cup or something, and then they took some hyssop and slapped it on this side and on this side, and then slapped it up there on the top lintel, and it made the form of a cross. So slap, slap, slap. There it is. And so there you had that doorway was the blood-soaked door. That Jesus said, I'm the door. That's how you got in, through the blood, through the door, through the way. I am the way. That's how you get in. Getting under his blood, not under your work. Under his blood. Put your faith in his blood. Rely upon that faith. You can trust in that blood that Jesus shed for, not you, I mean not for himself, but for you. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, burn that with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded. In other words, get ready to go out. Your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Pesach, Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. So even if there was a dog, it was firstborn dead. A cow, firstborn dead. Anything that was firstborn, that was all dead. Man, imagine what a slaughter that would do to your whole population, just killing the firstborn. But the biggest one was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh, he felt he was a god. And, you know, he was on the top of a pyramid. You know, so he was at the top of the pyramid, and then he had little sycophants around him, the nobles, the, you know, soldiers, and so on and so forth. They're kind of in the middle. And then all the slaves at the bottom. And so that's the way all societies have been ever since the beginning of the world until we started. This is the first country where we decided not to have that ranking thing. Did you know that? And Israel also had that idea, is that Moses, though he's a leader, he should be the servant. And Jesus, though he's a leader, he should be the servant. He even told the church that. There shouldn't be a pope at the top. There should be, the people should be there. And Jesus should be at the top. He's the head of the church. There shouldn't be anybody else being the head of the church. We're his wife. I can't lord it over Peggy. I can serve Peggy. I don't lord it over her. And I didn't lord it over the kids. They didn't have to go to work while I laid at home. I actually go to work and bring old stuff for them so they could play. And they never, I ask them a lot of times, kids, do you want to play today or work? Play. They said that every time. I couldn't believe it. And then I would ask them, are you sure you don't want to go out with Dad and rake leaves and stuff like that? Well, how much will you pay me? I said, like, man, you don't get it. What a joy to be with your dad. My kids never fell for that. They never fell for that. I was illustrating something. What I was illustrating was, you know, little kids want to play. You know, as Christians, you can play all the time. I don't know if you understand that. I'm happy all the time. You don't ever hear me complaining, griping, you know, getting angry, bitter, and so on and so forth. I'm not doing it. Why? Jesus, he loves me. So I know even when bad things happen, it'll turn out good. Do you know that? Does anybody else here knows that?
Amen.
If a bad thing happens to you, it'll turn out good. And you know, I have sworn. And I used to swear a lot. But anyway, I toned down after I became a Christian. But it still comes back every once in a while when that computer that we got will not do what I want it to do. And David even came over one day to try to help it. But I just swear at it sometimes. It makes me so mad. And I yell at God, too, over it. God, get some help to me here. You know, how does this thing work? I pushed it here and it went there, you know, or whatever. And I have got not a clue. I just want to type on it and then do what I want it to do, and it won't. Has anybody else found out? These new and invent, you know, the greater the computer thing is supposed to be better, it's more complicated.
Yeah.
The old one, you just typed on it kind of thing and hit a couple of buttons, stop, go. Now it's so complex. It's amazing to me. And I have to call David all the time. David, here's a new problem for you. See if you can solve this one. And it's just way too, it's too sophisticated now. We ought to have a button on there, and I'm inventing this now. A button that says, I have no idea what I'm doing. That button will help you, give you an answer. But there's no button like that. I'm just there. Which button do I push? I hit a button and it's all gone. You know, where is it? Where is it hiding? I saved it. And then I look in the garbage can. It's not there. Where is it? It can't be gone. And David said, well, you know, those are glitches. That's because he couldn't fix it. He calls anything a glitch if he can't fix it. So Jesus Christ came down to earth. He came down to earth to die. That's the main reason he came down. I want to die for you. I don't want you to die for your sins. I didn't sin, you did, but I want to die for your sin. You don't have to. That's a great idea right there. And before he died, he spent a whole bunch of years trying to tell you how good God is and how nice the Father was and how forgiving he was and healed people. And, you know, just was a great person. You looked at him, you realize, you know what? I'm not like him at all. I'm not like what he's talking about. I'm totally opposite. Has anybody ever noticed that about Jesus? That you're not exactly like Jesus? Has anybody figured that out? You know, I mean, he's the one to forgive his enemies and so on. I want to get him. I do. I want to get him before they even think of getting me. I want to outsmart them and outthink them and so on. And just go after them. But he said, don't. Don't do that. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded. That means your long robe, pull it up into your belt so you can run or move or do stuff. Your shoes on your feet. You know what those shoes on the feet are? Those are the gospel shoes. Wherever you go, people will say, wow, I'm so glad you're here. You're always such a blessing to be around. They're not the shoes that go, uh-oh, trouble. I think so-and-so is coming in the door right now. That should not be our... Yeah, people should think of Christians as, thank you. When you're around, I just feel so calm. When you're around, I just feel so happy. You just always build me up. And so that's what Christians should be. They should have their shoes on their feet, always ready to go and help somebody or whatever, without any like, I hope I get paid for this, or I hope they appreciate what I'm doing, or whatever, because it's 2 a.m. or whatever. I've told you that I put the phone in the kitchen far, far from our bedroom, so that when the phone rings, I don't get angry right off, and I get to walk down the hall, and while I'm going down the hall, God always says, remember, all things work together for the good. Because I'm about to say, what are you calling me for? Why are you calling so late? Call me in the morning. But instead, when I get there, I go, what a blessing to hear your call. Well, thank you. I'm just waiting up for this call. Thank you. I'm so excited. But that takes me going down the hallway. And I do. I actually do that, literally. I think, you know, remember, Jim, you are a pastor and a Christian. So don't behave, you know, normal. So, does anyone else like I am?
Yeah.
All right. Now watch this. We're done. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This is the big night. Smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. All the gods. There's a lot of gods. So, 10 different deals wiped out all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Wow. So God is not into respecting religion. Did you hear what I just said? He's not into respecting it. He didn't end it. He just didn't respect it. He said, you got something that belongs to me. And I don't care what your religion tells you. I don't care what your philosophy or government or whatever says. I own everything. Heaven is mine. Earth is mine. You're mine. Everything's mine. It's my world. And I love that. So he just comes in without asking any permission of the Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you don't mind if I take your whole economy, do you? And Pharaoh says, yeah, I do. You take out all my slaves, who's going to do the work? I remember when I was in India, this guy, it's really funny. They heard that Christians were getting the untouchables saved. And they said, well, that's wrong. And they said, well, no, we're getting them saved and cleaned up and educated, and they're happy to be free by Jesus. Your Hindu thing isn't doing any good for them. Who's going to clean the toilets? I said, well, that's a good point right there. In other words, they don't want to clean them, and here are people that have to clean all those toilets and stuff. So they're losing all those people now, and who's going to clean their toilets? Get a Western toilet. Because they just have them out in the open. Okay. So God wants to execute judgment on the whole world. What for? To give good news. Not to destroy them. He just wants to destroy that religion that's not true. That religion that's not true, it doesn't respect that religion that's not true. God wants everything to be true. Your heart does not agree that if you work real hard to please God, then God will like you. There's no scripture for that. There's no natural thing about that. How many know that even the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself? How do you love yourself? Selfish. Well, then how do you love the neighbor? Selfish. In other words, you love him the same way you love your selfish self. Just love him the same way. Well, there you go. Is just love Peggy the way you love yourself. Oh, man, I love myself a lot. Well, love her like that. Oh, well, when I get time for me. You don't need to. I love you perfectly. Ah, I get it. You love me, then I'm free to love her. Ah, cool. Did y'all see that? Kind of a little deal there. As the father to the son, so the son to every man, so every man to his wife. That's how the children have a good deal. Somebody called last night, and you know, people are always divorcing and stuff. And they said, you know, someone's going to divorce and so on. What should I tell them? And so it's great. You know, it's like, look, let's deal not with that other person. Let's deal with you. You wouldn't be asking. Let's make sure you're not thinking of that. You know, let's make clear you got the good before you give it to somebody else. You all see what I'm saying? So aren't we totally content right in the marriage we're at? And Rather than divorce, think of killing, but not divorce. God's against divorce. And that slows it down a little. Because people will often say, well, I don't think he liked me anywhere. She didn't want to be married to me anyway. And so I'm just doing him a favor by leaving. I love how people justify everything. God hates divorce, period, over, out. Hates it. Does it happen? Of course. Are you on your fourth marriage? Okay. Slow down. It's okay. It's all forgivable. That's not a big deal. That's not the end of the world. I'm just saying, trust God. Stay in the first one and grow up. Maybe it's your own fault. Maybe you weren't happy all the time. Well, you can say that again. Well, there you go. I mean, I'm always happy. And in fact, the more mean Peggy gets, the happier I get. I'm just totally happy. Peg, I like it when you're mean. I just feel like we're even. I love it when you're mean and nasty. Judy, have you ever been mean and nasty? Really? Toward Randy? He's a nice guy. He's Christian.
It'll be 7 years this week.
Oh, will it be 7 years?
37.
37? Wow. That's exciting. Happy anniversary to you. That's great. Praise God. Amen. 37. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Wow. That's neat. Well, at 50, we'll give you something. You got another 13 to go. Don't slow down now. I think Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
I don't know if we have 13 years.
Amen.
I don't know. Be satisfied with 37. Maybe 40. I think you can get 40 in. You better do it big on 40. I think that the time is soon where he's coming back for his bride. Now, are you part of his bride? Yes. Are you perfect? Yes. Well, no. But he's perfecting you right now. And as he's perfecting you, you will actually be like him when the trumpet sounds. He doesn't come back without the trumpet. As soon as the trumpet sounds, then he comes back. But in that moment, when the trumpet sounds and Jesus is about to return, you'll be changed. You'll be changed. Because the Antichrist is already over with. You all understand that. He's not coming back until the Antichrist is done. As soon as the Antichrist is done, he'll show up. Why? Because that's when the people cry out, God, help us. Even the Jewish people. They're going to say, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, you did, and now get here. Help us. Because we got enemies galore. I mean, I know that the Jewish people today they're getting more enemies than they had when I was younger. They used to have Europe on their side. Now they don't even have Europe. And half of America's against them now. So they're losing a lot of their pals. What's going to happen to them? They're going to go through the furnace. They're going to go through the furnace. Because I don't care how many friends they have. I'll tell you, God is not satisfied until he's satisfied that you've gone through the furnace 7 times. Babylon, Persia, that was 2. Greece, Rome, that was 4. And then 3 more, Rome, Rome, and Rome. So that was ancient Rome, and then Holy Roman Rome, Adolf Hitler Rome, Third Reich thing, and now 1 more time. And it looks like it's going to be a Muslim kind of caliphate thing restored, just like the Roman Empire. So that's neat. I mean, I don't care how it works out. I just know that they're going to get it.
Yep.
And thank God we're not Jewish. Hope none of you have any Jewish blood in you, because you'll get it too. That's how IBM started, don't you know that? Tracing all that bloodline for Adolf Hitler. Are you aware of that?
No.
Sorry, didn't mean to tell you that. But that's where the computer came from. All those little things in cards, that's how they figured out how much blood you had in you from this Jewish parent or that Jewish parent. That's where that system came up. And that's how they began their business. So they're a major corporation today. But they did kind of naughty in the beginning. And they served that purpose of who to kill and who not to kill, who to put in the gas chamber and so on. So I tell you, they're about to get it again, but this time it'll be a little different. You and I will be in there with them. Hey, can we come in? You don't want to get in here. That's a furnace. It's a furnace. Yeah, we'll get in. We got scriptures for you. And they're out of the Old Testament, too. We memorized them. They go, could you please stay out? We don't want the Jesus stuff. You going to bring Jesus into it? Oh, yeah. He's the reason why we're doing it. That's why we're so happy to be in here. It's voluntary, you know, on our part. And I think the Jewish people hate that. They hate it that we love them so much. Could I just hug you? Like, get away from me. I'd rather have a Muslim punish me than have you Christians hug me. And so it's too bad they don't get to decide, because we're going to be in there with them. Well, you're stuck with us. Well, don't sing the hymns and stuff. Just don't go into all that, you know, happy Jesus stuff. Oh, when the saints, hey, go marching in. Yoo-hoo! And I tell you, it's going to be fun. Well, I hope you're blessed today. Did you know that God is coming back for a bride? You're that bride. You're going to inherit the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever.